Good morning to each one of you this morning. I would like to greet you with the words found in the Ephesians. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It truly is a blessing to be in your midst here this morning. I come before you with a bit of trembling. There are many that are much more qualified than I, but I am truly grateful to be in your midst. You as a congregation, as a people, have truly been a blessing to me, a blessing to my family. And I am very grateful to be able to share this time with you. And I am a little surprised to see a brother from Manitoba here. Welcome here, Glenn. I don't know if it's my place to do that, but it is good to see Brother Glenn, our elder here. He is a precious elder in our midst. I also wanna thank you so much for extending your hand of fellowship towards us. As a church, as a people, I don't think that you truly understand what a blessing it is to have a congregation, even from so far away, that has embraced us, has extended your hand of fellowship towards us. And it really has been a blessing. We are very grateful that you have given your blessing to Brother Mohab, Brother Aiden here, to come and share and to come and give some oversight and help us along and be an encouragement to us. We do realize that there is a family at home. There is also a church family at home that I'm sure misses him when he's gone. And so I just, on behalf of the church out there, I would want to say thank you to you as a congregation for allowing Brother Aiden to help and to come and share. May the Lord truly bless you with all spiritual blessings. I also want to encourage you all to find Canada, find Manitoba. We find it truly a blessing to come here and be in your midst, but we would also, it would be a truly a great blessing for us to have you come, have you see where we are and to come and share. I think we are planning a Bible school here March sometime, and please come visit us. It would be wonderful if you could come and join us. Let's start with a word of prayer. Yes, dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. For you are worthy of bended heart, of bended knee. Lord, you have called us to come into your presence, and so we come. But we come humbly, we come with a bit of trembling, knowing that we stand before a all-powerful God, an all-holy God. And so, Lord, we come and we are truly grateful that you have sought us, you have bought us, you have made a plan of salvation, you have made a way for us to become your children, to become a part of your family. And so, Lord, we come with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, there is nothing else we can bring. There is nothing in and of ourselves that we can bring in thankfulness. But we bring ourselves, we bring our hearts to you, Lord. We We fall before you. We lay our hearts before you, Lord, and we ask that your will would be accomplished in our hearts. Would your complete and full will be done in our midst. And Lord, we have gathered here this morning to come and to worship you, Lord. We have experienced a small glimpse of your greatness, your goodness. And so, Lord, we come and we want to worship you. Lord, we want to look into your word. We want to feed upon your word. We want to learn of you. We want to know how to live, how to walk in such a way that would be pleasing unto you. And so, Lord, we look into your word. We seek to learn from what you have given us. But Lord, truly, we recognize that we need your Holy Spirit to come and to do the work. Lord, these words, they enter the ear. But Lord, it is your Spirit that takes that word and brings it down into the heart and that changes hearts. And so, Lord, we do ask for your presence here this morning. Would you give me peace and joy as I seek to speak your word this morning? And would we all be willing to learn and to accept the things that you want to teach us? Lord, we don't know where each heart is here today, but Lord, we know that your word is alive. It is living. And I pray that you would take every aspect of this service and minister to each heart that is here. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to share a little bit, but before I do, I already have been blessed with the comments that have come and that have been shared. O Lord, who art thou? Do we ask, O Lord, who art thou? Do we ask because God is changing? And once God is this, and then once God is that, and we're, oh God, who are you? No, that's not why we ask who God is. We ask, who is God? Because he is so great, and our finite minds cannot comprehend the fullness of God. And so we continually, we ask, God, who art thou? And we are so privileged that God doesn't change, that we can look into his word. He has given us his word, and he does never change. His word never changes. We can rely on that and we can continue on. And how do we get to know this God? How do we get to know who God is, or how God deals with his people, or the characteristics of God? I propose that, as Brother Wiki shared, it's through trials, it's through difficulties, where we experience God's hand in our life and we experience how he works. And we gain trust. We see how God works, and we can learn. And we say, "Yes, Lord, you were faithful back here. You were faithful over here." And we learn a little bit more who God truly is. So this morning, I would like to look a little bit at the life of Moses. At the church at home, I have started a bit of a thing that I'm going through some lessons of Moses, and it's interesting when you go through some of these things, you read the story, and we all know the stories, but when you start digging a little deeper, it's amazing what you can all find in there. And I started off with Moses, the making of God's servant. What does it take to be a servant of God? And you know, as we look at this, I refer to, you know, we're talking about Moses, and we all think of this leader, a servant of God. But I would like to, it's personal. It's each one of us. We are all servants of God, not just the ones that stand behind the pulpit or that lead the singing. And yes, they are servants of God as well. But each one of us are servants of God. These are all lessons that we can learn. And as we look into Moses' life, there were four things that really stood out to me. What it took for Moses to become a great servant of God. Number one, humility. Moses went from being in the palace to serving a man in the wilderness, way back, all by himself. And you know what it says? Actually, I'll read it here. Exodus. I'll be a lot of time in Exodus here. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 21. And it talks about how Moses has fled, and he's taken care of the sheep way back in the wilderness. And here's a phrase for you. Verse 21. And Moses was content to dwell with the man of God, or to dwell with the man that he was taking care of the sheep with. You know, so often Moses was in a very high position. He was in a palace. I'm sure he had servants there. He had beautiful home, soft beds to sleep in. And here he is out in the wilderness. And the Bible says he was content. You know, sometimes God takes us down the path of humility. And I don't know, you may be able to correct me if I'm wrong here, but I have written down here that humility is not something we achieve. It is the work of God in our lives and the ability to accept it and be content with where and what God is doing in our lives. Do we find ourselves there when God takes us through difficult times or humbles us? Are we content? Are we willing to surrender to Christ? That was the life of Moses, the first lesson. The second lesson we learned was serving the least of these. To become a good servant, faithful servant, a servant that God can use, you need to be able to serve the least of these. And I just want to testify that is something that we have seen in your midst here. That has been a true blessing to us. Serving the least of these. Moses, when he was in the wilderness there, and if you recall, I'm not going to read all these things, but he was at the well there, and these women came with their sheep to water their sheep. And as a rule, you know, the men shepherd would come, and these women would have to step aside because they weren't as popular. They weren't women that was second class. That was lower class. So the men they would feed their sheep first. And but this one day Moses showed up, and he says, "Hold it, men. We're going to have the ladies first." Moses stood up for the least of these. Moses stood up and said, "No, we're going to do this first. And he was willing to serve the least of these. In order to become a great servant in God's kingdom, you need to be willing to serve the least of these. Number three, fear God. We know the experience that Moses had at the burning bush. And what was Moses' experience? Moses fell on his face before God. He reverenced God. He had a fear of God. And you know, when we truly have a fear of God, that's when God sees our face. Moses was known, I wish I had these verses a little clearer here, but God says, I knew Moses face to face. And if you look at the life of Moses and you read through the life of Moses, can I propose to you that Moses spent a lot of time with his face on the ground before the Lord? He was hiding his face from God. He had a fear of God. He reverenced God. When he met with God, he was on his face before God. And you know what? When I hide my face from you, you can't see me. But when I hide my face from God, God sees your face. That's where God sees your face. Not when you're up here and everybody can see you and oh, look at me, look at me. God can't see your face there. When your face is down on the ground, hidden before an all-powerful God, that's when he sees your face. Humble obedience, number four. God asked Moses to go, and we know that he had a bit of an argument with God. And we look down upon that and we say, oh, Moses, take courage, go. But Moses understood his limitations and his shortcomings. And Moses, he hesitated. And yet, at the end, God says, I will go with you. And I will send you a helper. Aaron would go with him as well. I will send you a helper. And I will be there as well. And so Moses says, okay, I will go. And that's what I call humble obedience. You know, I hear of people that have a longing to be up front, to lead and to stand up here, and all my red lights and my yellow lights go on. There is a privilege of serving Christ in this way. I don't want to bring that down. But if there is not a humbleness in your obedience, God will never see you. When we have that humble obedience, that's when God can see us. So when we empty ourselves of pride, then God can fill us with humility. When we empty ourselves of selfishness, then God can fill us with a heart of serving. When we empty ourselves of the fear of man, the fear of circumstances, the fear of failure, then God can fill us with the fear of God. When we empty ourselves of selfish goals and ambitions, then God can fill us with humble obedience. Those were some of the lessons we learned on how to become a servant of a living God. But this next This morning I'd like to share a little bit more on the next message that I had that was called God and His Discouraged Servant. And I hope I won't be too discouraging here today. I don't want to be a discourager. I would like to encourage you, and I think it is an encouragement. But it is also real life. It is true. And so I would like to, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 4 and 5 here a little bit. And so Moses has been sent to Egypt to help free these people out of bondage. And so we see at the end of chapter 4, Exodus chapter 4, the last couple of verses there, verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that He looked upon their infirmities, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. You know, God gave Moses this plan to free his children out of bondage. And so Moses and Aaron, they bring this message to the children of Israel. And I think there's rejoicing. They are excited and they're saying, wow, we're going to be freed from bondage. And it says they bowed their heads and they worshiped. I sense this this gathering of thankfulness, this gathering of worshiping God and saying, thank you, Lord, for visiting us in our infirmities. There was encouragement. This is going to work. And they live happily ever after, right? Well, keep your finger here. Turn to Joshua. Joshua 7. Joshua 6. Now take your Bibles and go like this. That's between Exodus 5 and Joshua 6. There's just about 200 pages in my Bible of life that happens before they get to the Promised Land. Before they get that freedom that God promised them. God said, I will bring you to a land. I will bring you to this place that I promised your fathers. I will bring you to that place. But you know what? It didn't happen overnight. You know, and it reminds me a little bit of our lives, of our, you know, we come to the Lord, we surrender our hearts to God, we give our life to the Lord, and the Lord promises us His presence. But ultimately, God promises to those that overcome, to those that make it to the finish line, He promises eternal life. He promises us a home in glory with Him. Would that not be our goal? Would that not be, yes, we want to live for Jesus. We want to serve Him here while we're here. But ultimately, our goal, our desire is to be with Jesus, is it not? But you know what? He has promised that to those that have surrendered their heart to Him. But there's many of pages of life before we get to that eternity. We don't get there overnight. And so for some of us, we are at the beginning of those pages. For some of us, we're maybe a little further towards the end. But let's see what we can learn from this. Let's go to Exodus 5. I want to read a few verses in Exodus 5. Verses 1 to 21. And I know I was talking about servants, how God and His discouraged servants. And we're going to get back to that. And I'm taking a little bit of a sidetrack, a little bit of a detour here. And I hope you'll go with me. But here's a very important lesson that we can learn from the children of Israel. I want to share a little bit of my testimony with this as well, so you will understand where I'm going with this. Exodus 5, verse 1 to 21. Let's remember that they had fallen on their face before the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. They were encouraged that, yes, we are going to be freed from bondage. Chapter 5, verse 1. And afterwards, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, and they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord?" Here we see it again. Who is the Lord? "That I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence and with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you unto your burdens?" And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "Ye shall no more give people straw to make bricks as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tail of the bricks which they did make heretofore, ye shall lay upon them. Ye shall not diminish aught thereof. For they be idle. Therefore they cry, saying, Let us go and sacrifice to God. Let there no work be laid upon the men. Let more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words." And the taskmasters of the people went out, and their officers, and they spake to the people, saying, "Thus saith Pharaoh, I will not give thee straw. Go ye, get you straw where ye can find it, yet not aught of your work shall be diminished." So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters hastened them, saying, "Fulfill your work, your daily tasks, as when there was straw." And the officers of the children of Israel, which Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, therefore, "Have ye not fulfilled your tasks in making bricks, both yesterday and today, as heretofore?" I'm not a very fluent and good reader, but what it's saying is, Moses went to Pharaoh and he says, "You know, we want to go serve this God, our God, in the wilderness." And we want you to let us go. And Pharaoh is thinking in his mind, you know what? Something's going on. And if we'd go back, I didn't go there, but the children of Israel was becoming a great people. And Pharaoh was getting a little bit nervous. You know, these people are all in my land. And if they turn against me, I'm in trouble. And so Pharaoh had done all kinds. He had tried to kill all the baby boys, and we didn't go there today, but he was trying to diminish the children of Israel. Well, I'm getting sidetracked again, but don't ever try to diminish God's work. You're going to be in trouble. When God has a plan and God is moving ahead, when you try to diminish and you try to hold it back, it's just going to keep flourishing. The children of Israel, even as Pharaoh tried to kill all the baby boys and you know, let's not have some, the nation just grew all the more. And so here they are making bricks. And Moses talks to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, you know what, they have too much idle time. They're thinking of ways to escape slavery. And Pharaoh says, you know what, we're going to fix this problem. We're going to get them to work even harder. Don't give them any straw, but they have to make the same amount of bricks. They've got to make the same amount of bricks, just don't bring them any straw. They've got to go find their own straw. Well, that's virtually impossible, and yet they were forced to this. That's what it's saying here. And then verse 15, then the officers of the children of Israel came and cried unto Pharaoh, saying, wherefore dealest thou thus with thy servants? There is no straw given unto thy servants, and they say unto us, make bricks. And behold, thy servants are beaten, but the fault is not thine, the fault is in thine own people. But he said, ye are idle, ye are idle. Therefore ye say, let us go and do sacrifice to the Lord. Go therefore now and work, for there shall no straw be given you, yet shall ye deliver the tale of bricks. And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were in an evil case. After it was said, ye shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily tasks. So these Israel, I guess the kind of the foremen of the Israelites, they come to Pharaoh and they say, This isn't working. Why are you dealing so harshly? And so Pharaoh explains this to them. And are you still remembering that just a couple of nights before they're worshiping the Lord because they're getting freed? Verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our Savior to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh, in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to slay us. What's happening here? The children of Israel had just been promised to be freed from the slavery of Egypt, had been promised that God would give them this promised land. What's happening? Is life getting any easier? You know, I was at Gravel Switch here Saturday a week ago, and Brother Freeman had a comment that he mentioned there that stood out to my wife and I. And he said, you know what? Christianity is not an easy road, but it is an easier road. Christianity is not an easy road, but it is an easier road. The children of Israel could not see Joshua 6. Joshua 6 was still 200 pages away. And so is it in our lives sometimes. We know that God has promised us eternal life to those that overcome, to those that finish to the end. He has promised eternal life. He has promised a home in glory with Him. He said, I have gone to prepare a place for you so that when I come, I will take you that you can be where I am. He has promised us that. But you know what? He hasn't left many details as far as how we're going to get there. He has left us His word. You know, we just came from Kentucky. Some of you that been at Brother Leonard's place, you know that there are quite a few curves and up and down and around and this way and that way. And I didn't know where up or down was there. But I was in Kentucky and I knew that I wanted to come to Bern, Indiana. And I knew what Bern, Indiana looked like, and I knew if I got to Bern, Indiana, I wanted to go to Brother Andy's house, and I knew exactly how to get there. I knew which road to take. I knew where he lived, the house. But I didn't know when I was at Brother Leonard's. If you would have told me, okay, here you go, go off to Bern, I might have ended up in Montana, or I don't know where I would have ended up if it hadn't been for the GPS. You know, we had the GPS, and I put Bern, Indiana in there, and it told me go around this curve and take this. And I think without the GPS, I would have been pretty lost. And you know, so it is with our life. We know what the end goal, we know where we're heading. We know what God has promised us. We just don't know exactly all the turns and the curves in the road. And that's why this map, this atlas is so very important. Without this, we're going to lose our way. We're not going to make it. You did say I had 4 hours, right? I want to share a little bit of my testimony. My family and I, we come from an evangelical setting. And the Lord started working in our hearts, started drawing us, and with a few men and in our lives that helped us and directed us. And we started making some, we would say, radical decisions, some radical changes. And here we were making decisions against our family's wishes, some fairly challenging decisions that we had to make. But we were on fire for the Lord. We were going to serve the Lord, and we said, yes, Lord, we will follow. Lord, where you lead, I will follow. And so we followed, and we became a part of these type of churches, and you know, and we were a little excited. You know, the Lord is with us; the Lord's blessing will be upon us, and we were encouraged. And then all of a sudden, chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7 of Exodus started in our life. And I have to confess to you that there were many doubts and many questions. Here we were, we had made a decision to follow God. We had made a decision to walk in God's ways and according to God's word. And it seemed like our life started turning upside down. And some of you know our oldest daughter isn't here today. She has been here in the past. And we cry out to God and we say, God, why? Just as these servants came to Moses and Aaron and said, what's going on, guys? I thought we were getting freed from bondage. And here we are. Life is getting difficult. Life is getting harder, not easier. God wasn't finished with the children of Israel yet. And so we trust. We walk by faith. And we trust that God is not finished with our daughter yet either. But getting back to Moses, our servant, our discouraged servant. After the servants come to Moses, and I can only imagine the pain and the hurt in Moses. These people that he's supposed to be leading out of Egypt are now turning against Moses and saying, you know what, Moses, this isn't working. Get away from here. Just leave us alone. But God had commanded Moses to lead these people out of Egypt. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. But you know what? Moses does a very beautiful thing. Chapter 5, verse 22. Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Moses is discouraged. Moses had said yes to God. Moses had said, yes, I will go. But it's not working. And Moses is getting discouraged and he's saying, you know what? God, this is getting worse. It's not getting better. And your people aren't at all delivered. In fact, they are more enslaved now than they ever were. I believe Moses was very discouraged. But if we continue on, Moses' first step that God deals with his discouraged servants, or I would say his discouraged people, they go back to God. When you find yourself in discouragement, go back to God. You know, so often when we're discouraged, we have a tendency of running away. We have a tendency of eliminating ourselves. We have a tendency of walking away from God to a certain extent. Don't do that. Go back to God. When we go back to God, then chapter 6 of Exodus, then the Lord said unto Moses, you go unto God and you say, God, this isn't working. You're discouraged and you don't know how to do this. You let the Lord know how you're feeling. but then be silent. Because then God's going to start speaking. Then God's going to start doing His work. What did God do? He reminded Moses and said, Moses, this is what I've done for your fathers, for your forefathers. I have been with them. I have walked with them. This is a promise. I've never failed. I've been with them. I will be with you. God brings Moses back and says, look, here in the past, have I not led? Have I not dealt faithfully with your people? He brings him back to remembrance. And then the third thing, Exodus 6, verse 11 and verse 13. After God had encouraged Moses and showed him, he says, go in and speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 13, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. There are three steps. Go to God. And then allow God through His Word to encourage you and to show you how He's led in the past, how He has dealt in the past, and encourage you that way. And the third step is then go. Go and serve. God's not done with you yet. Had Moses given up here, it would have been a horrible ending. But God was not done yet. He says, go. And I have a couple other, we can think of Elijah, his great discouragement. And I won't go there today, but he runs away. He's had tremendous victory, but then he runs away and he runs away with some of his servants, but then after a while he even leaves his servants behind and he goes off all by himself. Is that not a tendency of a discouraged person? We try to get away, and sometimes we even try to get away from the people that love us and the people we love, and we try to eliminate, and we try to climb in our closets. And that is not a good tendency for us to do. But what does God do? And I should really go there. 1 Kings 19. Elijah is having this great pity party, and he's all by himself. He says, there's nobody else. I'm the only guy. I'm done. And then God comes in the scene, and he starts talking again. And he starts encouraging Elijah. He says, you're not the only one. And after God is done encouraging Elijah, what does he say in verse 11 of chapter 19? And he said, go forth. Go. In verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, go. Return unto thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. You know, I believe one of the crucial turning points in discouragement is when we are willing to go and serve. And I want to just put this in. I was preparing this message during a very difficult time in my life. And I was very discouraged. And I was preparing this message, and God was giving me thoughts, and I was writing down, and all of a sudden I said, "Whoa, God, what are you saying? I can't preach this message. Somebody else needs to preach this message." But God is loving and merciful, and I am so grateful for that. But let us be willing to go and to serve. Don't quit. Don't determine yourself where the end of the story is. Because it's going to end in a disastrous place. If Moses had ended there, I'm sure God had other plans. But as far as we could see, his children would still be in Egypt. Don't quit when you think it's time to quit. Let God write the chapters in your life. Let God determine when the end is. The ending of Moses is God taking him up into the mountain, and he's looking over into the promised land. And God says, "You know what, Moses, come with me. Come with me into heaven." Is that not a beautiful ending? Let's let God determine where the end is. Let's let God determine the chapters in our life. If we look at Elijah, if Elijah had quit then, God said to Elijah, "Go, I want you to anoint two more kings. I want you to anoint Elisha, one of the most powerful prophets, mighty working of God." God said, "Elijah, I'm not done with you. You still go." Let's not determine where the end is. Let's let God determine where the end is. We could also go a bit to Peter. Peter's discouragement. He goes fishing. He says, "This is it. I'm done." There again, we can see God comes to Peter. And he encourages Peter. And what does he tell Peter to do? Go. Go serve. Go feed my sheep. You want to get out of discouragement? Bring it before the Lord. Go to his word and let him encourage you. But then go and serve. And I can guarantee you that you will get out of discouragement. Satan does not want us to be serving the living God. And as long as he can keep us in discouragement, as long as he can keep us down and out, he's thankful. But when we are willing to go out and serve others and to further God's kingdom, there is no room in your life for discouragement. It will leave. So I just want to encourage you with those words. I, on one hand, it's life may get more difficult. There might be more challenges in life. But let us not get discouraged. Let us take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us let him encourage us. Let us go and serve. And we will truly be a servant of the living God. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you again this morning, Lord. We are so grateful for your word, your word that never changes, the stories, the things that happened many years ago And yet how relevant, how true it is today, to our lives today. Lord, we are so grateful that you continue to work in your people. And Lord, I just pray that this morning, if there is anyone that is discouraged here this morning and finds the load a little bit heavy, Lord, I pray, would you visit them by your Spirit? Would you encourage them? Would you lift them up? And then, Lord, would you send them out? Would you send them out to serve, to be a blessing? And Lord, we know that is where we get the freedom of discouragement. So Lord, we are so grateful again this morning that we can come to you with all our requests, and we can count on you to work in us and further your kingdom. Lord, we just ask for your blessing upon this morning, and may each heart have been filled here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.